Coming up on Life is a Festival.
So what is men's work? What's the core of it? What's the root of it? And I typically say something like, well, brotherhood, connection. But we actually have these core tenets of the masculine alchemy that we're providing. We call them the four C's. And so the first piece is co-creation. We're truly co-creating the space in a safe way for us all to make an agreement that we're going in. Once we co-create the space, we connect. And we connect in many different ways. Sometimes it comes around breaking bread. Sometimes it comes around the fire. Sometimes it comes from the deep emotional processing. The next piece is we confront. This is what the difference between a transformational festival and an intentional gathering is we're actually there to confront the shadows, confront the aspects of ourself, of our own experience that haven't been witnessed before. And so after we confront, the fourth C is to celebrate. Because I'm here to celebrate men. I'm here to celebrate this life. I'm here to celebrate the beauty of the land that we're upon. I'm here to celebrate our children. So we really create a ceremony of celebration.
My name is Eamon Armstrong, and this is Life is a Festival. This podcast is a celebration of thinkers and leaders who live their lives with the open-hearted, experimental joy of a festival. Each week, we converse in complete openness, in an ongoing quest to find those boundaries in our being and melt them into lofty horizons. Life is a festival, only to the wise. Oh, my friends. My friends, my fellow travelers, my people, welcome back to Life is a Festival. Well, I'm so excited today. Today I have the deep and abiding pleasure of introducing you to Adam Jackson, one of the three co-founders of Sacred Sons, a really groundbreaking men's experience that has been going on for the past few years. Some time ago, I was invited by Adam to be a guest on the Sacred Sons podcast. And on that show, he asked me if I would join them for masculine embodiment experience in the desert outside of San Diego. And of course, I said yes. Who would say no to something like that? And after the experience, I had the great honor of interviewing Adam for this show. And that is the conversation you're about to listen to. So this conversation is very grounded in my own experience with Sacred Sons. It's all about men's work, and I think this is really relevant to men, to women, to anyone in the constellation of possible gender expression, because it has to do with working with masculinity and healing masculinity in community. And as Adam says, and the Sacred Sons brothers say, brotherhood is the medicine. On the show, we talk about Adam and why he is called Lionheart. Hope. We talk about inclusivity in men's. We talk about the origin of Sacred Sons. We really get into what men's work is. And we get into the experience that I shared with Adam outside of San Diego. And we talk about ritual connection and ritual presence. We talk about ritual combat in the Brother Dome. And we end with the Father's Council and integration. So really, it's a full arc of deep men's work. So Adam is devoted to inner exploration. He has been involved in sweat lodges, in men's circles, in plant medicine ceremonies, and transformational gatherings. He is the voice of Sacred Sons as the host of the Sacred Sons podcast. He is the director of operations and the co-founder. And as you will hear, he is a man deeply rooted in a heart-centered commitment to service and someone who I admire quite a lot. So, without further ado, there's one last piece of ado, and that is just a shout out to Ian McKenzie. Ian McKenzie is the one who first turned me on to the work of Sacred Sons, and he's been a guest on this show before. He's written a great essay about Sacred Sons, which I'll link in the show notes. But just a shout out to Ian McKenzie, and if you haven't yet, check out his podcast, The Mythic Masculine, which is where I first heard about Adam Jackson. So now there is indeed no more ado. Here you go. Here's Adam Jackson. Adam Jackson,
yeah.
Welcome to Life is a Festival. This has been a beautiful full circle of me appearing on the Sacred Sons podcast, being invited to a Sacred Sons retreat, but you don't use the word retreat, right? You use a different word.
No, I tend to use gathering, circle, experience. Really, it's an experience. We're not retreating from anything. In fact, we're running towards something. We're confronting something. So we definitely don't use the word retreat for the work that we do.
So forgive me. It is the Sacred Sons experience, which was quite an experience. And as you know, I'm a bit of a purveyor of experiences. So it was great to witness firsthand the container that y'all created down there, just outside of San Diego, in the what is it? Rising Liberty? Is that the space that you use?
Liberty Arising in Hakumba, California, about an hour outside of San Diego. Shout out to Liberty Arising. That land is sacred land. That land has been a big part of Sacred Sons. And, you know, the stewards who live there, shout out to Jackie Dragon. They really hold Sacred Sons in a good way. And that land really holds us. And this is traditional Kumeyaay territory from the Kumeyaay people who've been there for 10,000 years. And we were blessed for our last convergence to have some Kumeyaay elders come out and open ceremony with us. That was a huge coming together of the tribes, so to speak.
Yeah, and I recall that when we were first talking about me attending, there's one that you do in Maui, and then there's the one that you do in the desert. And you're like, Eamon, I think you need to go to the desert.
Yeah.
And you were right.
Yeah, and the reason is, you know, when we're on Maui, there's a big feminine energy here. And so what happens is, for the men who are really seeking to emotionally process and go that route, it's a really light and feminine experience. But we're in the harshness of the desert, and we're circled up in caves, and we're out in the elements. And it's a more masculine experience to be surrounded by the grandfather boulders. And they can really hold us, and they can hold our pain. And sometimes they can hold our screams and our shouting and our wrestling, too.
And one of the things that you said during the workshop, particularly when we were in the cave, you said that women give their blood to the earth and men give their tears. And that land feels like, that dry land feels like the right place for us to give our tears.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, for so many men, it's been years since they've given their tears back to the earth. And it's a part of our culture that has kind of rooted out the vulnerability and the collective witness of the emotional masculine. And it's time, and what Sacred Sons is doing is kind of bringing that back as a part of our culture. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to express ourselves in these ways, because guess what? We've all got it. We've all got something. You know, we show up into these spaces for different reasons and ultimately for the same reasons, because we're holding on to stuff. And so that land, that desert, those grandfathers, they really do hold us in a way that allows for that transmutation to happen. I've experienced it with hundreds and hundreds of men at this point, and I was honored to experience it with you.
You did. You did. You called me into the circle. And
You almost got away.
And we'll definitely get to talk about that today.
Yeah.
There's so much I want to talk about. One thing that I just want to touch on first, this modern world is a very fluid place, particularly in terms of gender. And so when we were having a conversation on the Sacred Sons podcast, we talked a bit about the feminine elements in my experience as a man. So just before we launch into this deep exploration of what masculinity means to us, I just want to kind of call in an inclusivity to all of the folks who are relating to masculinity however they do, whether they're in a female body relating to masculinity, whether they experience the world through a non-binary experience. As we are talking about these ideas of men and what men need and masculinity, we're painting with a broad brush in a certain way, because it's definitely no one size fits all. So I just want to take a moment to just welcome in all of the listeners of all of their experiences.
Yes.
And if we, in our exploration today, if we speak in language that doesn't feel inclusive, forgive us as we're learning, as we're fumbling through it. And I just want to speak to that. And if you'd like to speak to that as well,
Adam. Yeah. When I'm talking about my own personal experience, if I use heteronormative languaging, that's my experience. That is in no way to discredit anyone else's experience. And I just want to come out in front of it and say, as Sacred Sons, we have held space for all walks of life, whether that looks like transgender men, brothers and sisters, whether that looks like gay men. We specifically are calling in BIPOC brothers into this movement, because the men's work movement has largely been dominated by white cis men. I don't even say that word cis, but I'm throwing it in there for your audience. But you know what I'm saying? So like, one of the first things I tell brothers as they come in is all of you is welcome. All of you is welcome. I say that to every single man that I come into contact with, because it's important. It's important to feel that. There's a lot of spaces out there where we're not welcome, and where all aspects of ourselves are actually more kept in a suppressed way. And so it's important to get out in front of that, because at the end of the day, we all have the same set of emotions. We all move the same. We all walk the same. And that's the piece that we're really working on. We're like, we're getting in there. We're moving our bodies, and we're stoking those emotions. And that's something that unites us all, truly.
Yeah, and I just want to offer my praise and my appreciation to the diversity in the space of Sacred Sons, which I found to be really powerful for me personally. I loved that race was something that was really directly spoken of, and people were able to really express their experience with that in a way that I don't find as potent and as bold in some of the more sort of like white spaces around masculinity. And not just in terms of racial diversity, but also the background of the men who participated in the experience. I was able to meet a lot of men that I might not meet at, say, a transformational festival. Perhaps I would, but some of those men would be in a space where they were stepping into a white space. And I didn't feel like Sacred Sons was a white space that people were stepping into.
That's because it's working. It's working. Listen, from my personal experience bringing this through, I'm biracial. I'm an embodiment of many cultures. I've walked with this for my whole life. And a part of my mission in creating Sacred Sons was to create a space to call in those men. And it's not only about race, it's about the diversity in the cultural backgrounds. And I can tell you just a little bit, you know, my story really starts with my two grandmothers. My father's black, my mother's white. Both of them lost their fathers at an early age. So I've never met either of my grandfathers. And my grandmothers helped to raise me. And they only saw me with love. And it didn't matter whose house I was at. Culturally, it was different. The food tasted different. You know what I mean? Thanksgiving was very different. The conversation around the table was different. And it was filled with love. And so I grew up with that. And as I matured and as I went through school, I started to lose some of that sense of my inner child who was so open, who was loved by all, right? And I started to lose some of that because of our cultural conditioning. And so my mission in reconnecting with my inner purpose is bringing some of that uniting energy back and really calling it in, because the truth of my existence is that I can see beyond the lies of our differences, beyond the borders and fences. I can really see to the heart of men and to the heart of human beings that we have these similar golden threads. And those are the pieces that I'm interested to relate on. And we have co-founders of Sacred Sons, Albert and J-Mac, and we all have different backgrounds, and yet we all can relate. And I feel like this is an important message for people to hear during this time. And I also like to say that we're already here. And what we're doing is inviting others to join us. I know that deep in the hearts of men, they feel that unity. And cultural conditioning, the internet, social media, politics, tribalism is really, there's a big force behind all of the divisiveness. And I want to be a big force behind unity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you walk that. You clearly walk that too.
I'm not afraid to walk it because it is me. I am that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you truly are. You truly are. And it was wonderful, wonderful to watch you work. And you know, you've touched on something that is what would be an opening question for a conversation like this. So Sacred Sons has this line that sort of permeates everything you do, which is brotherhood is the medicine. Mm-hmm. And so the opening for any conversation around masculinity in 2021 is that if brotherhood is the medicine, what exactly is the sickness? What are we healing when we gather as men in the witness of the grandfather boulders, as we weep, as we move our bodies, as we breathe? What kinds of sicknesses are you seeing in the masculine that Sacred Sons is stepping up to support in the healing of?
Yeah, brotherhood is the medicine to heal the wounds of isolation and disconnection. And what I mean by isolation and disconnection is that we become isolated in our suffering. we become disconnected from our brothers and believing that we are the only one who's suffering. We're the only one who's waking up with anxiety. We're the only ones who's going through a rough time. And so when I say brotherhood is the medicine, what that means, it's an invitation again to bring your vulnerability to the table. And guess what? When you bring it into the center, when you say, I'm lonely, I'm suffering, I'm not doing well. And I say, hey, how many other brothers here feel that same way? And you see hands going up. This is what I mean. Brotherhood is the medicine. Boom, 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 boom. So just that little piece of awareness. Oh man, I'm not the only one who's feeling like this. And no matter what that perceived sickness is, brotherhood is the medicine. Connection is the cure. Once we can reconnect with our brothers, but primarily to ourselves, we're reconnecting to ourselves, to our inner boy. That inner boy who knew when he came here, who just had that sense of knowing and that sense of play and that sense of adventure, whatever it was for you. Brotherhood is the medicine to reconnect us to that truth, to the essence of that purpose. And you know, like just on the real, when what I see is a lot of addiction, I see a lot of loneliness, I see a lot of men who can't hold relationships, both with romantic and friendships, and it's the root of it is disconnection. And so like, if I want to go even deeper, I would say that disconnection is happening because we're disconnected to our food. We're disconnected to the land that we live on. We're not walking barefoot on the earth. We're disconnected from the grounding that Gaia provides for us. We're disconnected from the earth. And so the reason we do our events out deep in the wild, whether it's on Maui or in the Pacific Northwest or in San Diego, is because that land reconnection is a big part of what we're doing. And so brotherhood is the medicine, but there's more. There's more too. It's brotherhood plus nature, plus a little bit of dancing and some cacao.
And there is something that's really interesting about men-only spaces as a mostly heterosexual man. For me, my validation socially is very related to the attention of women and how I'm seen to have that attention by men and by the community around me.
Same.
And one of the most notable things for me at the Sacred Sons retreat was to be in an environment that felt like a festival, like it was very social, but not to have my energy, my hungry ghost energy, be kind of scanning for someone whose attention I might want and someone whose validation I might want. I'd like to read something from our mutual friend, Ian McKenzie, because he does such a beautiful job of expressing this. So Ian McKenzie's an incredible men's work facilitator. He has a podcast called The Mythic Masculine. You were on that podcast, which is how I learned about you. I believe me being on that podcast is how the Sacred Sons community learned about my work.
Yeah.
So big shout out to Ian McKenzie.
Shout out Ian McKenzie, The Mythic Masculine.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good. And he talks about masculine rest. And in his essay about Sacred Sons, which was, I think, November 2019, Sacred Sons and the Rise of the Embodied Masculine. And it's a great essay. I'll put it in the show notes because it's, if you want to learn more about Sacred Sons beyond this conversation, he does a wonderful job philosophically discussing it. And he writes, since 2015, upon entering my first men's circle, I experienced then a deep feeling of masculine rest that had been unknown prior. Mm. There was something about men-only spaces where certain active parts of me became dormant. The need to unconsciously vie for the favor of women and to jockey for position within the hierarchy of men. Instead, I found a capacity to open more vulnerability and a camaraderie that fed a deep well in my soul. And I really felt that. I really felt that out there. And I have so many close women friends and one-on-one with women. It's not the same thing. But in a social environment, I noticed myself just pulled towards the feminine and to wanting that validation and then feeling the rest and the sort of like deeper presence with men that I don't really have in a more mixed group. And it was striking. It felt like rest.
Yeah, that's interesting because I have a reframe on that. But it's interesting because he's saying aspects of himself that were online became dormant. So he didn't need to perform. He didn't need to show up in a way that was trying to make himself this thing, this attractive being. But my reframe is that when we remove the feminine in physical form, we allow the feminine to emerge within us. And so, what happens in that case is men are dancing freely for the first time, maybe ever. You know what I'm saying? Men are singing songs around the fire. You're one of them. and not in a way, look at me, but like, be with me, share this moment with me. And this is like the feminine within all of us. And just to be clear, we all have masculine and feminine energies. This is the understanding that we're going with. It's not about gender in this sense, right? These are energies that I'm talking about. And so that feminine energy is allowed space to arise within us. And so what I find is that the feminine that's dormant in most men comes back online. And so the rest is a beautiful sentiment. But what I also see is the play coming online, the poetry coming online, the willingness to be vulnerable coming online again, many for the first time in their lives. And I know this because men tell me this. Brothers are sharing that they haven't cried in 10 years. Can you imagine? Like, these are functions of our physiology, but also of our spiritual nature that need to be expressed. And so men are so blocked up. And so by removing, and it's not like removing women, right? It's just for having that moment in time to express the fullness of your authenticity is so valuable. It's so needed in this world right now.
So you are Lionheart.
Who? Lionheart.
Ah, there we go. I wanted you to do it.
Yeah.
You are Lionheart. And you're definitely someone that a lot of folks look up to within this community. You're a father. You're someone who really lives by your values in a way that is both precise and diligent in integrity, but also is joyful, which I love about you. And that's very much like the king archetype. It's very much like the regal joy of being in integrity, but also being ready to laugh and ready to play from that state of integrity. So this is what I saw in you. And seeing you as a facilitator and seeing you work, including working with me, and lots of people have worked with me. Lots of people have worked with all my just stuff that I have. I felt that you were really a masterful facilitator intuitively. Like your intuition about when we were in this sacred circle and a man would step in and you would ask what energy wanted to move, what was alive, and then help them move that energy through and then call in brothers to support in that. Your instincts were so good. So
thank you.
I'd love to know a little bit about where that comes from. I'm sure that there's aspects of this that are just innate to your character, to your personality, to your unique collection of genes and where you were born. There's who knows what makes a man. But perhaps there's some things that you could flag in your life that led to this Lionheart expression.
You know, I care a lot. And I don't really want to claim to know why. But I just care a lot. I care a lot about people. I'm a Cancer, if you want to go that route. But I really care about people. And I like to talk to people. I like to hear what they have to say. I like to follow their energy, like what we're talking about. And it's for me, it's been that way for a very long time. I care about relationships. Relationships for me are why I'm here, both in stewarding friendships, brotherhood, with my beloved Hannah, with my children. Relationships have always been at the forefront of my human experience. For others, it may be money, it may be sex, it may be whatever it is. But relationships, love, like creating space for openness and compassion has always been a part of who I am. I remember, I can tell you specifically, I was 17 years old. I did my first guided meditation. It was actually in a religion class. I went to a Catholic high school. I was in religion. I had this amazing teacher. She was like new age and ahead of her time, but teaching Catholicism. But I did a guided meditation where she asked me to go to the top of a hill and then go down from the hill and go find God. And so in this guided meditation, I went to this hill that was in Dayton, the highest point, called Tip Top Woodland Cemetery. And I saw myself gliding down into the city until I came to this point. It was bright lights and all my friends were there. And I was like, oh, this is God. This is it. Like, oh, cool, I found it. And so I was like really lit up and tingly from that meditation. Fast forward about 3 months later, it was Christmas Eve. The streets are clear. Me and four of my friends are like, hey, let's go up to Tip Top and let's skateboard down into the city. And so this is a thing we did. So we went up, and we started shooting the hills and coming down and cruising through the streets. And it's like Christmas time and cold and lights and lit up, right? and we're just cruising through the streets. There's no cars. Everybody's waiting for Christmas morning. And we get to Courthouse Square, which has this huge Christmas tree lit up. It's really glowing. And I was like, oh, shit. This is that visualization of God I had. And I circled up my friends. I'm 17, and they're all high. And I was straight edge, but they're all like smoking weed and getting high and stuff. And I was like, guys, I'm like, this is it. Like, this is God right here, just us being together in this moment. And I fucking got it, bro. I don't know what it is. Like, my channel to source has always been open, like, since I was a child. And I remember in that moment, like, this is it. This is what really fills me up. And so just to relate that to the work I'm doing now and brotherhood and men's work, masculine alchemy, whatever it is, it's always been a part of who I am. And that's my heart. That is Lionheart. That is what it is. You know, I have a couple animal totems, lion, owl, and the heart of a lion for me is about compassion and about courage and about saying what's honest. And you know, you spoke to my values, and if anyone is curious, like, my highest value, my highest standard is honesty. Because I know what it means to lie to myself. I know what it means to be dishonest to others. And that absolutely goes against every cell of my being. And so leading with honesty, leading with a heart of compassion is what Lionheart is about. And that's the energy I like to bring to those circles.
Mm. Yeah, and I love the lion, the stag, the dragon, that each of you have these kind of totems. And each of you really carry those energies. Mm. Like, Aubert is just such a dragon. And he's such a dragon. And I think that when we evoke these animal guides, these totems, they kind of imbue us with some of their power and some of their precision as well. I am a dragon. I am a lion. I am this. And these are the qualities that I cultivate. And I feel it in my being. I feel it in how I move my body. The three of you each have the kind of, even in your movements, you have these animals. Was that the way it was in the beginning?
The beginning of Sacred Sons actually starts, obviously, like, before Sacred Sons. I was throwing a family gathering in Joshua Tree. You know, I just want to say, I'm a fan of what you do, and I'm also a seeker and a connoisseur of transformational gatherings, right? And so I was called to throw them. Even as a kid, I was throwing punk rock shows in Dayton. I was booking my band's tours, you know. So when I came into this conscious awareness, and when I had my son Noah, I was like, oh, I'm going to throw a family gathering now. That's the phase of life I'm in. And so I was throwing these, it was called Tribe Family Gathering. And Jason, I invited him to come and lead a men's circle at Tribe Family Gathering. I invited Aubert to lead a shadow work workshop. And that was really the first time that us three worked together on any level. And that was about 100 people, men, women, children in the desert and all these workshops. It was beautiful. And that was in 2015. But in those days, you know, Jason, Aubert, and I really saw what was happening. And the family gathering was great, but what the messaging that we got was that the men need the work. They're not ready to show up in this space yet. Like, men actually need to go off in the way that we were talking about, away from the women, away from the children, and do this deep healing work, do this deeply celebratory work. And so after the second Tribe family gathering, I just remember being on the phone with Aubert and saying exactly that. It's time. The men need the work. And I was like, we have to name it. And it'll be called Sacred Sons. You know, like, it was simple as that. We got together in my backyard and we started planning for the first convergence. The first convergence did not have animal totems, although our particular animals were always present. You know, Jay and Aubert and I, we would sit and do hape together before a meeting. We would sit and pull cards, pull oracle cards, pull animal, Native American animal spirit cards, things like this. You know, this is the type of human beings we are. And so in doing some of these, you know, ritual practices as part of creating a brotherhood and a business, we started to adopt some of those elements of our spiritual nature and bringing them into this reality. So by Convergence 2, we had the three teams, Lionheart, Dragon Spirit, Staghorn, and then we've subsequently added new team leaders. We have Bearheart, who leads Bearheart. We have Kale Ka'ale Kahi here from Maui, who leads Eagle Clan, and there's more coming. So really looking forward to that. But that's the animal spirits and bringing them into, it's serious in nature, but it's also super playful. So when I scream Lionheart and 100 men reply back, oh, and we feel that together, it's powerful, but it's also like, it's me giving permission for men to tap into that part of them. And the only reason I know what's there in them is because I know it's inside of me.
I love the lion heart. Ho! So you were speaking of Jason Mack,
yes.
Jason McKenzie, who is one of the co-founders. Now, he came up in the Mankind Project. So he was a facilitator for a couple of years with the Mankind Project. And for those who are listening who aren't familiar with the Mankind Project, that also came out of a lineage called the Mythopoetic Men's Movement, which is, you may have heard of the work of Iron John by Robert Bly or King Warrior Magician Lover. So Jason came out of doing work with the Mankind Project. And the Mankind Project has been the sort of standard of men's work for a while. And from what I read about his experience there is that it wasn't really speaking to a millennial audience. There needed to be an evolution, and that's part of what came into Sacred Sons. Had you had experience with men's work? Had you done something like Mankind Project or any other sort of specific men's work prior to entering your heart and your vision to Sacred Sons?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've known Jason for maybe 12 years now. And my introduction to MKP was through Jason. He was lit up, especially in the beginning. He was a part of MKP for 10 years. And he would be like, man, look at these masculine archetypes. You have this king energy, but you also have this war. You know, he was breaking down masculine archetypes from an early time with me. And so he invited me to go to an MKP iGroup. And when I went there, I was surrounded by a bunch of 50-year-old white dudes. And no disrespect at all to MKP, because they've done some amazing work and been inspiring into what we're doing. And what I felt when I sat in that circle for the first time was, I don't trust these men to hold me. Mostly because I'm one of one. Secondly, because I don't feel like these men can relate to what I'm going through because of the generation gap, you know, and because of a lack of understanding at that time of what it felt like for a brown man to sit in a white circle and then be asked to share vulnerable shit. It's like, you guys look like people I was trying to avoid most of my life. You know, whether that's through cops or teachers or fucking whatever it was, you know, this doesn't feel good in my body. And I want to be clear here. In that moment, I got the message from spirit, like, if you can't find it, then you can create it. And so I had been on the plant medicine journey. I've been sitting with ayahuasca for 10 years or more now, and holding space as a guardian in ceremonies, sitting in men's only plant medicine spaces and co-facilitating, co-leading in those ways. And those were really my deep initiations into men's work, because we were going to the deep through plant medicines, through activating those deeper levels of consciousness in a men's circle. And then the next day, you know, we have the from the ceremony to the ceremony. And when we're sharing as men after having these very individual experiences, I was able to tap into that vulnerability and like, oh wow, okay, I'm seeing this through the plants. So ayahuasca has actually been a huge ally for me on this mission. I asked permission from Mama Ayahuasca to do this work and to lead this work, because when I got the call, like, if you can't find it, go create it, I was like, no, who, me, what? And to be very honest with you, I was like, I haven't read all the books. I haven't read King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. I hadn't read Iron John. And so I'm like, I don't know enough. And ayahuasca's message back to me in ceremony was like, there aren't enough books in the world that can embody what you embody. You are the technology. Like your being is what it's about. It's not about these words in a book. And in that moment of, oh, you mean my medicine is like someone would be resonant with this medicine that I carry? She downloaded me, as it happens, or uploaded, unlocked it within me. Some of these codes and some of these core pieces that I continue to bring through to this day. From that place, working with Jason in men's spaces, Albert and I were holding men's circles before Sacred Sons as well, before it was called Sacred Sons. And then we also have a brother and a teacher, Michael Gay, who is a therapist, and you can hear him on the Sacred Sons podcast. He's a brilliant and a compassionate guy. And he gave us some codes, and really through those early sessions, we cultivated the technology that has become Sacred Sons. And it looks very different than MKP. It looks very different than Everyman and some of these other circles, not only culturally diverse at this time now, that was a part of my mission, but experientially diverse. And what I mean by that is, I don't think there's ever been another men's circle where a lightsaber battle broke out.
That was so good.
And you know what I'm saying? So like, and the adding of the physical pieces, the wrestling, the jiu-jitsu, the sparring, you know, we're bringing all of these elements in an emergent way because we're not afraid. We were like, we're men unleashed. And so like the men's work that we're offering is not this stale, clinical, sit in a room with a therapist. You know, what we're doing is not therapy, although it feels very therapeutic. What we're doing is providing a real experience for men to break through their limitations.
You know, Adam, I know you're a podcaster because you have a wonderful job of leading the conversation exactly where I want it to go. So you've kind of teed up exactly where I feel the next space is. So kudos. I know that you take your practice seriously in your podcasting. And where this is going in this moment is like, so then what is men's work? You spoke about embodiment. Embodiment was a huge part of Sacred Sons. We talked about this circle that a man steps into the center of. We just spoke about a lightsaber battle. So what is the men's work? What is the work that we're going in the desert to do? Particularly for those who are listening and would like to attend an event themselves or would like to suggest that someone that they love in their lives might get some real healing from something like this.
Yeah, I get asked that a lot by guys who come in fresh. They're like, so what is men's work? What's the core of it? What's the root of it? And I typically say something like, well, brotherhood, connection. But we actually have these core tenets of the masculine alchemy that we're providing. We call them the four C's. And so the first piece is co-creation. We're co-creating a space as men. Like we're choosing, we're deciding to set this container. You've experienced it. We open with four directions. We open in a ceremony and a ritual type of way, but we're truly co-creating the space in a safe way for us all to make an agreement that we're going in. Once we co-create the space, we connect. And we connect in many different ways. Connection comes, sometimes it comes around the breaking bread, sometimes it comes around the fire, sometimes it comes from the deep emotional processing. And so the next piece is we confront. And this is where this is what the difference between a transformational festival and an intentional gathering is we're actually there to confront the shadows, confront the aspects of ourself, of our own experience that haven't been witnessed before, that haven't been seen, that we're sitting, that we're holding up, that we're blocked, that we're stuffing down. And you saw it in different ways in many men, and I try to do my best not to share other men's stories. However, I can tell you that the confrontation of other men, and not in a hierarchical way, not in a way like, hey, tell me all your problems because I'm this guy. It's not like that. And I hope you can vouch for that. It's more like, this is a safe space for you to say the thing that needs to be said, for you to express in the way that you need to express in whatever way that looks like, because we've agreed to set that container. And so after we confront, the fourth C is to celebrate, because I'm here to celebrate men. I'm here to celebrate this life. I'm here to celebrate the beauty of the land that we're upon. I'm here to celebrate our children. I'm here to like call out your children's names. Let's go. What are we doing in this life? I don't want to wait until my family, my brothers and my sisters are deceased to celebrate them, to honor them. So we really create a ceremony of celebration. And so co-create, connect, confront, and celebrate. That is the core of what Sacred Sons is doing. There's a lot of white space for things to emerge in there, but I also don't want to define it as something so specific because it's not. It's unique to each of us in with whatever we're carrying and the way that we're willing to let the shadows come into the light.
So I'd like to speak a little bit about my experience with Sacred Sons because I think it'll be particularly relevant to the listeners of this podcast.
Yes.
In part because Sacred Sons is an emergent space.
That's right.
And emergent spaces have a kind of magic that aren't present elsewhere. This is like Burning Man is a state of emergence. It's, as you've said, co-created. We put our stuff in, we see what comes out, and we go with it. And that's when the serendipitous connections happen. That's when the magic of seeing that person you haven't seen in 20 years, they just happen to be at the grilled cheese stand out by the trash fence. How could it be?
I had a grilled cheese save my life once at a festival.
So they do. That's what they're there for. They're life-saving dairy and gluten. So I had a pretty profound serendipitous experience in the context of Sacred Sons. So there's a moment of ritual connection, the circle, a very potent experience where men are given the opportunity to step into a circle and just bring an experience that is potent for them, that they need to share, that they need to release into the circle. And then that is facilitated by one of the co-founders. We did ours in a cave, which was so cool. I'm really glad we did it in a cave. That
like
felt right.
The absolute perfect setting, like really cavemen. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, there's something about that that's true on an energetic level, though, just as I was saying, to be in a cave where we're creating safety. And we can get into what safety means, but what safer place than a cave where the brothers are surrounding and protecting. And it's like, hey, man, whatever it is, whatever you have to say, this is the space for that.
Well, let's touch a bit on what safety means, because it's very relevant to this story. Yeah, you're talking about being in a cave, being surrounded by men, but there is something, there's a certain really potent safety feeling that I experienced there. How is that created from your perspective, that safety?
For me, safety begins with acceptance. Acceptance leads to non-judgment. Non-judgment leads to openness. That openness leads to willingness. Willingness to hold space, willingness to be held. And that's on the psychological safety. Hey, no matter what's said here, know that that's okay. Like, we're here for that. So that's on the psychological safety. The physical safety is a different type of approach. We're saying, hey, you might get cut. You might get scraped up. You might catch a bruise, maybe even a black eye if you're getting in the brotherdom and sparring. It's not necessarily about physical safety with us, although we do our best to provide a physically safe space. But sometimes what it takes is to be bumped around, is to be shoved. Sometimes for a man, it's like, hey, you need to get punched in the face and know that you can take a punch and it's not going to end your life. It's not going to end the story of you. And so when we are creating a safe space, it really comes from that place of acceptance. And that permeates throughout the weekend as you see more and more men relating to one another. And I love to see it. We've resolved conflict and charges between ex-cops and ex-criminals. You know, black, white, Christian, Muslim. Like, we've seen so many different looks of men who out there in the square world, you would say these men don't belong together. They could never relate. But by creating a safe environment of acceptance, some of these men leave these spaces as best friends. Some of these men leave these spaces with filled up, like, wow, I didn't know I could relate to a cop. I didn't know I could relate to a criminal. I didn't know I could even wrestle this dude, you know, whatever his story is, right? Whatever your perceived judgment on that story is, then being able to connect and relate in that way is what the safety provides.
And something I'd like to flag about safety too is the role of shame in the wounded masculine. There's so much shame. There's a lot of shame around sexuality. I know I've had a big piece of that in my life. There's a lot of shame around patriarchy. There's a lot of shame around the masculine as unsafe. And so something that's coming up for me now is, like, to be a good man in this modern world is to make others safe. We want to be the good men who are making women safe. We want to create safe spaces. So we're doing a lot of creating safety. And what's beautiful about Sacred Sons is that there's safety created for men to surrender into. And maybe some of these men are the men that are putting all this effort and time into making others safe. So to be held in a safety of men and to not have to be vigilant in the way that a man might otherwise feel that they need to be that good man that they were told by their mothers who'd been hurt by men, to be a good man, be strong, be good. If we're constantly creating the safety, how are we surrendering into a safety created for us? And I saw that at Sacred Sons.
Yeah, because the reality is that most men have been wounded or hurt by other men. And so some of these brothers come into these experiences with 4, 5, 6 layers of resistance on. You know what I mean? And then a mask on top of that, right? Like I got it all together. But these layers of resistance, by creating that space of acceptance, non-judgment, and safety, allow men to de-armor. Allow a man to go like, oh, cool, I don't have to be the biggest, baddest guy here. Thank God. And that's the rest that you spoke to and that Ian spoke to so eloquently. It's like, oh, I don't have to have it all together here. Thank God. What I really need is just to fucking fall apart. Because I've never been able to fall apart. I'm always holding it together. You know, this is the plight of a lot of providers and a lot of men who are holding families. And so when we are able to de-armor, when we're able to remove those layers of resistance, whatever they are, shame included, that's a space, I'm just going to say it, that's a space when we get closer to God. That's a space when we get closer to spirit. That's a place when we get closer to ourselves. And when we see that and it's reflected back to us by our brothers, by around the second or third day, our cups are all full. They're filled, and we can really relax into the experience of what it is to be human, what it is to be brother, what it is to have brethren. And that's something that belongs to us. I want to say this because I feel like it's important. Brotherhood belongs to us. Sisterhood belongs to us. The human family belongs to us. And we have to, in these times, we have to take that back. We actually have to consciously make an effort to reclaim these things that belong to us.
So back to my story in the cave. I step into the circle, and you are the facilitator, and you're supporting me in that moment. And I've got a lot of stuff that I've run I've done a lot of therapy. I've done a lot of plant medicine. I could do like the childhood adverse experience stuff. I could do the sexuality stuff. But what was really alive for me and what actually felt like more of a risk was simply to be with my struggles with my own mental health. And my effort in that moment was like, I don't want to tell a story. I don't want to convince anyone anything. I just want to be with these group of men. And I just want to cry about how it's really hard to have pretty significant depression and anxiety. And that's something that in my life, I'm always spinning it. I'm like, well, you know, depression is a teacher and here's what I've learned. But it was just so healing to just step in the circle and just weep about just the pain that's been visited on my lineage.
Yeah.
With the genetic, we all get our stuff that we come into the world with. And my family has a lot around depression and anxiety. My brothers, myself, both my parents.
It was especially profound and moving when you brought into the awareness of the suffering that your brother had been going through and how you understand it because you also have it and that it is a part of your lineage. Like I've just felt that in the cave in that moment, like everyone was like, it was just very moving. It really was.
Well, it's, you know, it's hard. What can I say?
Yeah. I just want to say what's important here too, is that like, we're not going to let guys come in and storytell. You know what I mean? Like you're not going to come in. It's not going to be the thing you always think it's going to be. And so that's a compliment for you to say that, you know, that in the moment, what was real came through.
And that's the thing about feeling held in the circle too, is like that. And that's the thing about emergent environments. It's not just you making the choice. It wasn't just that I made the choice. Like I'm going to not share something that I've shared 100 times. There was all the men who went before me, there's the energy in the space, there's the expectation on a soul level of the people that you're with that you're going to bring it to. That's an emergent space. And so for me to let go and simply grieve, like I basically just cried. Like I basically was like, this is something that I carry that's really deeply painful for me. And so I was held, I processed, I moved through it. This is the serendipitous thing I want to share. And this is how Sacred Sons was most like a festival to me, or most like the thing I like most about festivals and about Burning Man and about Bali and about these environments that have some extra special magic. We go through this whole experience. And then later on, I'm hanging out eating a tangerine, and a gentleman comes up to me who I'd also supported when he was having his process. He comes up to me and says, so I'm a functional medicine doctor. I focus on mental health. I specialize on people like you. And I've had a number of patients who have, are very similar to you. They've tried tons of different things. They haven't had results. And I've seen incredible results by doing a functional medicine approach that is analyzing their entire systems from genes to gut health, to hormones, to toxicology, just doing a full comprehensive review of someone's systems and then being able to supplement, to detoxify. There's a process, and I do this for people who have difficulty with their mental health. I'm usually very booked out, but you know, we're here and I want to support you. Would you be interested in having that conversation? And this is exactly what I was looking for, so deeply looking for. Like, and even in that moment, I just started learning what functional medicine was. And I was like, I really need to find the right person. And it turns out the right person was the person who was holding me like a baby when I was crying and knows my mental health on a deep soul level because he saw me grieve about it. And so we've started working together. And I'm not going to mention his name because of just, you know, he was in the ceremony.
Yeah.
I want to give him a shout out. You know, I want to give him a shout out.
Love him too. Love him too. And listen, you might call that networking. You might call that alignment and divine. You know what I call it? Brotherhood. Because brotherhood is the medicine. And that's what I'm talking about. And you finding like specifically this functional medicine to help alleviate and to support your mental health, that is what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. The brotherhood provides. We say this too, you know, we have everything we need. No one's coming to save us, Eamon. However, the brotherhood provides. And that is, for me, that's a divine alignment. The fact that you two men, by the way, at this time when we were in the cave, there's two other groups happening, right? You two may have been on different teams, right? But you happen to be in that cave in that sacred moment. And it's all, for me, it's all spirit. I give it to spirit. Like, whew.
And we've started working together, and already I have a completely different understanding of the genetic impacts on my mental health. I'm on like a gut cleansing diet at the moment.
Wow.
I'm starting working with supplements. Yeah. You and I haven't talked about this yet. I don't want to give away too much because I'll probably podcast about this.
Great,
and I don't want to sing praises about something I haven't gone through the full arc of. But honestly, Adam, this might be a lifetime like game changer for me. And if it works for me, then I can bring it to my family and I can bring it to my brothers. And that came out of Sacred Sons. I went in and I grieved, and then someone stepped up and said, this is my work. This is my passion. This is my life to help people like you. I'd like to help you. He had held me and I had held him and sang to him. I sang to him in the cave when we were in our process.
That is kind of like that oneness festival moment. And this is what I love about this work versus doing like deep plant medicine journeys, which is very individual. Because when you are in the center, we're all there with you. Like, we're going through this thing together. And then for it to come full circle in this beautiful way where you're now singing to him, because I remember that moment too, because it was so special. I also want to relate that he went off and received some somatic healing from another brother because he had, you know, if you remember, he had an injury. So he's also finding within the brotherhood some additional, you know, modality that is suited for him. And I've seen this over and over and time again. And this is the ancestral healing. This is the lineal healing that we're talking about. Like, it's happening. And if we're present to it, if we're willing to step in, so many of us find it in these ways. And it's, man, it's so beautiful to hear you saying that from this side. It's amazing.
It's amazing. And that's not all, as they say. And that's not all. Because we got to talk about...
More.
Wait, there's more. Because before our time is up today, we got to talk about ritual combat. We have got to talk about ritual combat. Because competition... Growing up on the schoolyard, it's not a healthy space for competition. We're not testing our, I mean, some of us are, and when sports, there's a lot of positivity around sports, but a lot of the ways that the masculine clashes at a young age is unhealthy, and there's teasing and there's bullying and there's people taking advantage of others. So to have that healthy masculine test, to really test your strength against someone else, is great, way better than I thought it would be as someone who doesn't do as much of that. And to have ritual combat was just wild.
So when you were on my podcast, I specifically remember you saying, I don't know if I'm going to wrestle. I don't know if, like, that's the one thing. And this is a sentiment that I hear from a lot of men. Do I have to wrestle? Do I have to fight? And although we're not Fight Club, I like to see some of the work that we do as a spiritual fight club. And yes, iron sharpens iron. Man sharpens man. That is the work that we're there to do. This is also one of the pieces that Sacred Sons is bringing through in a courageous way, because the physicality of men, it's vital that we access that. A lot of men, many men walk around with suppressed anger, with suppressed rage, and the sentiment of, oh, if I see red, I'm just going to explode. And it's like, okay, well, what if we provide a safe space for you to actually be able to tap into some of that, to tap into some of that rage in a really healthy way? And one of the things I like to say is, like, if you can't do this and smile, then stop. If you can't do this and hug your brother at the end of it, then stop. We got you. But most of the guys that I see that come in with that initial trepidation or fear of either underperforming or overexerting themselves, they find that, man, where has this been all my life? Like that physicality to feel another man's strength and to feel that equal and opposite force is so good for us, because it informs us of where we are and where we're going and, like, where we can improve and all of these things. So it's not just about all of this, like, emotional work, but stepping in the center to wrestle or to spar another man is highly vulnerable. This is, like, one of the scarier things you could do, especially when you're circled by a bunch of brothers who are cheering you on and everything. So I want to say to you that I was so proud when you stepped out, you know, when you stepped out and you know, accepted the challenge and came up smiling. And I don't know if you had any bumps or bruises from it, but, you know, like, I could tell that that's a significant thing. And yeah, it's important that we go to those spaces on the physical pillar as well.
Well, and the experience design was awesome for that, specifically for the physical stuff, because the way that it worked was we had, during the day, we had these different wrestling experiences. And as you recall, I was paired with a brother who, by the way, we just did yoga together. I just was in his yoga class in LA just 2 days ago. Like, I've been cultivating that relationship with that brother. And we wrestled, and it was the kind of wrestling, try to tap the knee or try to, like, knock someone off their balance. So it wasn't like fighting, but it was still competition, and it was still my dexterity or my strength competing. And it was so beautiful because the brother who I was paired with, who, like I said, I'm now cultivating a deeper friendship with, he was so great about being happy when I won and kind of pulling me into it. And, like, I felt really kind of led by him. Mm. And it helped me to get into my physicality, that embodiment, that trust in myself and in my own skills as they were developing, so that later when it was time for, like, the brother dome, like the big nighttime dome fight thing, I was like, you know what? I'll fight. I'll get in there and I'll fight. Yeah. So I love the experience design of, like, actually stacking it up. Because if we'd gone from, like, ritual circle weeping into, like, fighting in the brother, like, no.
Well, how about this? What if I had told you, Eamon, not only are you going to wrestle, but here's the brother you'll be facing off against, right? What if I told you that? You would go, I'm not coming. That's okay. I'll stay home. But that's what this is about, man. That's what the de-armoring and, like, whew, let's let some of these judgments go and let's really meet each other. And what I find happening over and over again is the willingness to be open and the willingness to be met. And I observed you guys, and you guys would go harder and harder, and kind of, like, you were winning some and he's winning some, and you were sharpening. And it was like, it wasn't about who's winning, who's losing. It was about sharpening one another and the experience, being really present in that experience. I haven't really talked about presence much, but all of these modalities that we're bringing to the table, the experience design is all informing us of how to be present. For a lot of men, you know, for everyone, there's a lot of distractions in this life at this time. And so to be engaged fully and to be fully present in those moments. You know, you're not stepping into the brother dome and wondering if you left your toaster on at home. You know what I mean? You're not wondering if you paid that bill. You're fully engaged in that present moment. And this is also the source of our of our life force energy. So to get fully present in those experiences, again, it's just like, it's valuable. And this is something that I've experienced in my life that I want to share with others. I want to invite others into. And yeah, and yes, I want to say this just because if guys who are listening, what's up, brothers, if you watch our videos and you see the wrestling, you might have this concept like, oh, they're just going to throw me in there, right? But we step it up in a really intentional way.
So Adam, I've got some constructive feedback about Sacred Sons for you.
Give it.
Right on the podcast. I didn't warn you about this.
Let's go.
So on Sunday, there were two offerings at the same time. One was at Sacred Sexuality, and one was the Fatherhood Council. And my feedback is, those should not have been at the same time. Those should not have been at the same time. Not just because I felt like I missed out on the Fatherhood Council, but I felt that the Sacred Sexuality group missed out on the fathers, because we had a lot of the older men were doing the Father Council. And that's actually where, you know, I should have been there, but I love talking about sex. So, but you know, I did feel the absence of the fathers in the sexuality circle. So my bit of very harsh feedback is I would just maybe not put those at the same time, because
I fully agree with you.
And I share that is by way of also to tee up that I didn't sit in the Fatherhood Council. And I remember afterwards you were like, man, I wish you'd been there, because this is something that would matter to you. And when I look forward into my life, like, fatherhood is not immediately on the horizon, but I've always wanted to be a dad. We've spoken about this. You are a father. And so I was wondering if maybe you could share a little bit about what was so potent in that Fatherhood Council that I missed out on for our listeners, because that fatherhood piece is so key. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about that as we come towards the end of our time together.
Yeah. So the Father's Council, what I like to say in the beginning is, this is not a workshop. No one is teaching here. No one is leading, but we're men and we're counseling. No one is presumed to be a better father or anything like that. And there's an element of ourselves as adults who we need to like tap into the essence of fathering ourselves, and also to understand what it means to step into the responsibility of fatherhood. And so what happens in those spaces, for me, it was actually the deepest part of the weekend, because we start by introducing ourselves by our father's lineage. So we start with our grandfathers and our father's names. And like, sometimes just a brother saying his father's name in circle brings up so much, whether that father was absent, whether that father is no longer with us, or whatever it is. Like, sometimes just calling their names in, calling in the ancestors into those spaces can be so powerful. And then we call in our children's names. It's not just designated for fathers, but fathers to be, or even men who just want to witness what the fathers are speaking on. And so we invite all men into that space, and calling our children into that space as well, and making commitments. I don't need to give the whole process away of like how I've designed it, but we get to a place for most of these men where we're recommitting to ourselves and to the circle of fathers, how we're going to show up, how we're going to show up for our beloveds, our children, how we're going to show up for ourselves. Man, I have so many stories of what men have shared in those confidential and sacred spaces that I choose not to go into. But I'll just say this, for as prevalent as the father wound is in our culture, the wound of the absent father, you know, the mission of Sacred Sons is to return the father archetype to this planet in this time, in our lifetime now. And that's what happened in that cave. We're calling back in the father archetype into our hearts, into our bodies, into our beings, and releasing the story or the narrative of the absent father. Because what we're doing in that cave is bringing through real presence through the brothers and through the men who are stewarding, quite literally, the next generation of young men and women.
And it's not just medicine for the absent father, it's medicine for the patriarchy itself. You know, the patriarchy is the tyrant father. It's the hyper false masculine, the wounded masculine leading. And so the real fatherhood comes in as an antidote for that. And I think that is A, really, really potent, and B, takes us to the last moment of our conversation today, which is bringing it all home. We go and we do this work, we connect in brotherhood, we heal each other, we heal ourselves, and then we come back into the world. And that's a key component. Our integration for our own health, how we integrate this into whatever kind of lives we lead, but also the gifts, the boon, the offerings that we bring back to the women in our lives, to the men in our lives, to our other relationships, how we bring it home. So how does one bring home such a potent experience with integrity in a way that will really build on it rather than letting it be lost as perhaps another transformational container that was good but then sort of receded?
Yeah, I mean, the key piece here is through integration. And when we speak of integration, Sacred Sons has put a lot of energy and effort into keeping our communities connected. So it's beautiful that you've connected with Brothers Outside and doing yoga and connecting in person. That's the first thing I say. Like, if there was a man here that you connected with, get his phone number. Be friends. Sometimes men just need friends in their lives, quite honestly. Staying connected, it's of the utmost importance. A lot of time after big transformational festivals or plant medicine ceremonies, people get lost in the sauce, as we've talked about, and kind of just become addicted to the cycle of that. And the way to get around that is by not leaking the energy of the experience, really holding it, and staying connected to the men who are a part of that experience with you. Sacred Sons has an online app. We have an app called The Brothership, and that's a place where men can get on and share vulnerably and stay connected in that way. The other piece that I want to say specifically, how do we bring it home? It's through commitments. And when we're in ceremony, when we're in ritual, and I ask brothers, what are you committed to in this moment? What would you like to commit to? Those commitments are sacred. And so like what happens is, and the universe has a funny way of doing this, but if you're in a sacred circle and you're making commitments, and I try to do my best to make it manageable, not too big, not too small. You don't have to go home and save the world, change everything. But what's something small? What's a baby step? What's the next step for you? What's the thing that you need to do when you get home? And can you commit to that thing? It can be as small as like, she just wants me to freaking X, Y, or Z. Or I really got to get my finances in order. And this is the thing that's really on my heart. Like making those small commitments and those small changes, those small adaptations to our life, for me is where the gold is. And that's how it's shown up in my life. That's how I've experienced the evolution of my own sacred masculinity is by making commitments. Men are attuned to being committed, to being on mission, to having a purpose. So what's the first step on your mission? What's the first commitment that you need to do when you get home? And I'll just reflect back to you. What happened in your experience through your challenges with mental health, you made commitments with another brother and you followed through on that, and then boom, 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 it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. This is the way, connection and commitments.
You know, and there's another way of bringing out into the world that you mentioned that I really love, and I wanna flag it because there are festival producers who listen to this show. Awesome. And so this is something that might be relevant for you as a festival producer or people who are involved in festival culture. So Sacred Sons has actually appeared at Beloved Festival.
Yes.
And actually, as an organization, showed up to offer a men's circle at the beginning of the festival. I think you were doing it like every day of the festival, but specifically what you mentioned to me was getting men together at the beginning of the festival, connecting as men and asking for accountability as men entering into a festival environment. In this environment where, you know, there is a lot of like kind of desperate predatory behavior that does pop up in these festival environments, having a group like Sacred Sons, bringing men together, asking for like offering support, asking for accountability, that's a beautiful way of bringing this work out into the world in a super, super potent way. And I want to honor that you're doing that. And also for folks who are in festival culture listening, who want to get in touch with Sacred Sons about like bringing more of that into gatherings, I think that that's super valuable. And I love that that's something that y'all do.
Listen, it's also a big part of our mission. If we cannot create safe environments for men, women, and children in the festival scene, how are we ever going to build a template to do it out in the world? Our festivals are sacred. Those spaces of freedom, of exploration, of full authentic expression should be held in a safe way. And it is a responsibility in my philosophy It's the responsibility of men to create that structure for the feminine to flow, for the freedom to occur, right? And so, yeah, like I expressed at Beloved, and we've also appeared at like Bhakti Fest. You know, I love Desert Hearts. I go to Desert Hearts. I'll do a men's circle basically anywhere if you need me to show up.
Dude, okay. The Desert Hearts crew are my friends, and yes. Let's do that. Let's make that happen.
Let's because do that.
There should
let's
be a men's circle. There should be a men's circle at the beginning of Desert Hearts. There's no reason that there wouldn't be. And Mikey Lyons, another lion. We'll get the lions together and do it. That's something
Lee Reynolds.
That can definitely
Lee Reynolds.
Happen.
He's an elder. We'll do a little ritual for our elder Lee. You know, but what's important here is to say, like, bring the men together at the beginning of the festival. Let them stare into each other's eyes. There's nothing to fear here. Let's like. Okay, it's okay that we're all here together. Now, how are we going to show up later on the dance floor? How are we going to show up when someone needs help? How are we going to show up? Like, it's okay if you came here looking to meet someone, looking to hook up or whatever. But can we do that with integrity? Can we drop all of the bullshit? Like, just to be quite clear. And that happens. This de-armoring can happen within the portal or the bubble of a festival. It really can happen. And then what happens from that place when men are able to look each other in the eyes and on the dance floor bump a shoulder and go, hey, what's up, brother? I remember you were in the circle earlier, you know? Like, that is creating culture within the culture of the festival. And I just am speaking from experience. The reflections that come back from women in these festivals of like, wow, Sacred Sons was here. And it brings a new element of that quote-unquote safety. And I feel like it's so important that we model it and create these templates for ascension within our communities. Because if we can't do it there, if we can't do it with 5,000 people at Beloved or 10,000 at Bhakti, then how are we ever going to do it on a grand scale? And so these are the templates that Sacred Sons is bringing through. This is my life's work. This is my passion. This is my purpose. I'm fully in, and I'll see you on the dance floor.
Damn. Mic drop. And again, another great podcaster move, because we're right at the end of our time and you're like, I'm going to hit it with a bang and then I'm going to ask you how people can connect with you. And then that's the thing. I love interviewing podcasters because I just feel like, you know, you just know. So, all right. Obviously, people listening are going to be interested in getting involved, connecting
yes.
with you. So if you could just let us know about what's coming up for Sacred Sons and also how people can follow you personally if they're interested in your work. Yeah, where can people find you in Sacred Sons and what's coming up that should be on people's radar?
Yeah, sacredsons.com. All social media is at Sacred Sons. Instagram, Facebook, adam@sacredsons.com. If you want to send me an email, Adam Jackson on Instagram for myself. And this experience that Eamon was sharing, it's called the Embodied Masculine Experience. This September, we have a events calendar coming up where the Embodied Masculine Experience is coming to regions all over the U.S. So September 9th through 12th, we have the EMX Pacific Northwest. That's going to be in Oregon near Portland. September 16th through 19th, we have the EMX East Coast in Buffalo, New York. And September 23rd through 26th, we have the EMX Southeast in Atlanta, Georgia. What? Come get some. And so, like, there's no excuse. Men, if you have felt any type of resonance, if you felt any type of truth emerge through listening to this conversation, it's time. Show up. Show up in one of these spaces and find out. And we're doing our best to really bring this work to the men where they live. You know, previously our model was like, oh, you have to come to California to be with us. You got to come to Maui. But we're coming to you now. So there's no excuse. SacredSons.com. Check out our training schedule. We also have leadership training, which is an online for the level one, and level two is an in-person. So if you're interested in leadership training, if you're interested in embodying this work, leading in this work, or just leading in your family, in your community, in your business, whatever it is, Sacred Sons has a phenomenal leadership training that's actually going on right now. And yeah, please connect. Reach out, brothers. We're here for it.
Yeah, and I'll just say for the weekend that it is, for the four-day experience, it's definitely an affordable price point. And there's great food.
The food
was awesome. Bomb food. Shout out to all the people involved in that.
Yeah, like, the food is a big really part of the gathering. We break bread together, man. We eat all organic, highly nutritious food throughout the
experience. Gluten-free cornbread.
gluten-free cornbread. What? Yeah, man.
That's another thing
I know about men. We like to eat, and we like to eat well. So let's do it. Let's do it together.
Adam, thank you so much for inviting me on your show and then inviting me to the desert and facilitating such great work and for coming on this show. I mean, you've brought a lot to my life in the short time I've known you. And I just want to say, man, I really admire you. I really do. Mm. I think you're walking a great walk, and it's just been an honor to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much, Eamon. I love to talk to you. I have since our first conversation on the Sacred Sons podcast. Please check out the Sacred Sons podcast if you'd like to hear more and to dive into other topics. I host a weekly episode. And yeah, Eamon, it's always an honor and a pleasure. And I want to hear you sing more. When you sang around the fire, I actually have that video on my phone. I've watched it many times.
Oh, nice.
I really love to connect with you in all of these different ways. And even here now virtually, it's always a pleasure, brother.
Well, I'll be coming to another event for sure. I will absolutely. So thanks again, Adam. It's been such a pleasure. I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Much love, everybody. Peace.
Thank you for joining us for Life is a Festival. If you like the show, you can support it by sharing it with your friends, following it on Spotify, or reviewing it on iTunes. If you'd like to get more involved, you can join our Facebook group, Life is a Festival, where we talk about the show and you can suggest new guests. If you really liked the show and maybe want a little bit more, visit my digital tip jar at patreon.com/lifeisafestival.com. Whatever you do, I hope today's podcast helped you make your life just a little bit more like a festival, and I'll see you on the dance floor.